Our guest today, Jacob Joliffe, mentioned in the first hour of the program, jazz, bluegrass, you name it, whatever you need, is done at a high level from Jacob, and we've had two albums that we've tasted a little bit from the Jacob Joliffe Band, which is a just-now-released bluegrass band, and Our Delights, which is an album that he did with Grant Gordy at the end of the first hour. You heard incredibly gorgeous, gorgeous version of Skylark off of that album. We're going to talk about both of those albums. I will remind you again that Jacob Joliffe is a name that's come to me in many circumstances, from either off the air or on the air, or just in passing. And the reason that people tell me about him, or have told me about him, is that for a number of years in the Cincinnati area, I had a broadcast, a radio show called The Real Jazz Conversation, and it was an all jazz show. I love jazz. I love bluegrass. Jacob Joliffe helped me satisfy both of those cravings. Just amazing talent. And I saw him this year, met him up at Gray Fox Bluegrass Festival in New York. And when he was finished with a set with Bela Fleck and the My Bluegrass Heart concert, which was another entity that would take hours to describe how glorious that was, I said, Jacob, I think we need to talk. And he said, yeah, that'd be cool. So here we are. We're going to talk to Jacob Joliffe. To the listeners of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a great cut from a soon-to-be-released album from the Jacob Joliffe Band. You heard a fairly traditional tune, Columbus Stockade Blues, done with an extra twist by my guest today, Jacob. Jacob, welcome to Unreal Bluegrass. I'm so glad we had a chance to meet at Gray Fox so that we could make this connection here on the radio.
Absolutely. Yeah, nice to meet you, Steve.
I will tell the listeners that I've been a fan of Jacob's for a long time. And I kept, when people would come on the show and they would mention this guy, Jacob Joliffe, and I had never met you. I knew I heard your music, but I hit in the back of my mind. So when I went to Gray Fox, and you're there for all kinds of reasons, but the one that just absolutely killed me was kind of that extended set with the extended band for the what I call Bela Fleck's My Bluegrass Heart concert. That was just one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life.
That was a fun one. That was a really fun. That was the first. I had done a few other My Bluegrass Heart shows in May, but that was the first one back since then, and it was great, man. It was really fun.
Everybody just kept coming up. Of course, Jerry Douglas was there because he's everywhere that time. He was the artist in residence.
Right.
Sam Bush runs up, and you name it. There were like 11, 12 of the best musicians I've ever heard standing on one stage and going through Bela's My Bluegrass Heart CD with two CDs. That was a blast. So I got to say, there's Jacob. I talked to you after that to see if we could connect later on, and so here we are. Thanks for that.
Of course. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Listen, let's start with, you have a couple albums we're going to discuss. One is the Jacob Joliffe Band, which is, they just heard Columbus Stockade Blues from that. More of a bluegrassy band, certainly I'd say more of a bluegrass album, although it has cuts on there that are, I mean, they're large Garbage Barge. There's a couple tunes on there that just don't fit in that description. And I don't care that much about describing music. I just like good music. But you sent me this, and we're listening to it, getting ready for today. And here's what you do. Here's what I want to approach all this stuff at. I've always felt that the high end bluegrass, the mastery of the instrument, fretboard, whatever it is. And the jazz, the high-end jazz, are connected. It's maybe not the same scales, not the same notes, but the creativity and the ability to improvise. And I think you are the epitome of what I've heard on record as far as being able to do that. You combine them all.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, I appreciate that. I don't know if that's true, or I would guess it's not, but I still appreciate the vote of confidence there.
Well, you're one of the best I've seen at doing that. And the reason I mention that is even on the Jacob Joliffe Band album, like I said, there are some tunes on there, dead ahead, bluegrass versions of country songs, Nancy Griffith, I think there's even a Joe DiMessina tune from vague memory, if you've got a quarter. So then some of the stuff you do, though, is more extended. So what I would like to ask you, Jacob, is how do you live in both of those worlds? How did you get presented to both of those worlds? Not that those the only kind of music you play, but how do you get to that level? Tell me about that, because I don't know you. I just met you.
Yeah, well, I grew up playing bluegrass out in Oregon. My dad, he started me off playing when I was about seven, and we had a bluegrass gospel band that I did until I was maybe 16 or so, until I got a little worn out on playing bluegrass gospel, but I still love it. And, you know, I had friends, like, for instance, Alex Hargraves, amazing fiddler.
Yes, absolutely.
He's from Oregon, too, and some others on the national scene that, you know, I was lucky enough to be around from a young age, like Dominic Leslie and Sarah DeRose. We all met when we were pretty young, and all those cats are, you know, great pickers now, and they were great then, too. And I think all of us on the whole were, you know, into bluegrass and then into some amount of jazz. You know, some got kind of into it, probably, like Alex might have gotten into it earlier, I'd say. But I got really into jazz in high school.
In what way? Was it listening? Was it participating in a high school band? Or how did you get exposed to
it? It was a lot of listening. And then I was lucky enough to study some with an amazing piano player, Randy Porter, who actually I put a record out with late last year, another jazz record. But he's an incredible Portland area piano player, just really top-notch. And I was lucky enough to study with him some, not on piano, but just sort of music lessons, and start working on jazz then. I mean, it was, you know, for me, I've been really into jazz for a long time, but it's never been what I did for a living at all. And it's been kind of a slow burn in terms of hopefully getting better at it over the years. But, you know, I'm still not a native speaker by any means of that language. It's just something I work on a lot. Came up playing bluegrass, and then obviously I've been really influenced by guys like Bela and Thiele and Prisman, people that have also studied jazz and classical and taken elements from that for their own original music. I think that, you know, the instrumental tunes that I write that are on the new Jacob Jolliffe record, and then the record we put out a couple years ago that's all instrumental original stuff, that's very much sort of in the lineage of Bela and Grisman and people like that. And I owe a lot to them because they're, they kind of came up with those sounds first, you know.
You know, and when I talk to David Grisman, and if I talk to any number of those other players that you talk about as far as exploring, certainly on the mandolin,
yeah,
they all walk me back to Jethro.
Huh, yeah,
they
totally,
all, every one of them, Grisman, Bush, all of them, that's the guy that did it all, Jethro Burns, and it's a more swing kind of jazz that he
right.
plays when he wasn't doing the home run. Jethro, that was their bit, which they were brilliant at, but you go back and check those things with Jethro and Homer, strictly instrumentals, they're just playing jazz, they're just swinging, and they play to no end. Special Consensus, the Greg Cahill lived near Jethro Burns up in Chicago, and they would go over there just to absorb what he was experimenting with, because he had so much control over the instrument and could play everything. And I don't know if that's something that you listen to, or do you get it through the second generation after him who worship at his feet, like Grisman and those guys, and just a more open.
Well, I've definitely listened to Jethro some, and actually Grisman gave me some Jethro CDs when I first met him when I was a kid. He's incredible. I wouldn't say that my jazz playing is particularly influenced by him.
No.
In that, like, most of the playing, I haven't really transcribed much mandolin jazz, I guess you'd say. Like, even Grisman and stuff, like the way he plays standards and stuff. I've mostly worked on, learning, like, Charlie Parker solos and learning, like, some solos by that generation of jazzers, and then just, you know, having gone to music school and being exposed to some of the, you know, just different approaches to navigating harmony. My teacher at Berkeley, John McGann, he was a huge influence. Of any mandolin player's approach to playing jazz, his was definitely the one that influenced me the most.
And I wouldn't suggest to you or the audience that Jethro is playing what you're playing on Art Delight or what you're playing, but his it was more swing when they weren't doing comedy.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic swing, but the notes weren't the same as when after Parker comes around and people start playing different things and the jazz changed, but they're it was so precise and so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're into much different You, I mean, on the Art, and I'm going to talk a lot about the Jacob Jolliffe Band, but Art Light, you have Wayne Shorter. You have, I think, Fats Navarro. I was looking for the origin of Our Delight, the title cut. And I think it takes me back to Fats Navarro or Tad Dameron.
We learned it from a Tad Dameron.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But I think I kept tracking it back, and it's like an old Fats. But, yeah, Tad Dameron's the one that I have. You have Monk. You have the Thelonious Monk tune, which is, anybody can sit and play Monk. You get a star by your name.
That's a Panonica. A beautiful tune. It's a tough one.
So that's a tough one. You play Skylark, which is a very accessible tune from anyone's point of view. Hoagy Carmichael, I think, whether it's jazz or I think most people could hum that tune and probably sing the first line of it. So there's great music on there. Slipping at the Bells. I keep coming up with Charlie Parker, whether he was the main person that made it. On the record, I couldn't find. What do you know about Slipknot? And then again, I'm talking to Jake. We're going to talk about his bluegrass album, but I want to hit some of these highlights on Our Delight. Slipping at the Bells, I keep coming back to Parker, and I don't, you know, it's a circular thing for me.
Slipping at Bells, as far as I know, Miles Davis wrote it, though certainly Charlie Parker played it too. But it's
okay. I mean, I kept going back and forth between Miles, and then I would see an earlier recording thought from Parker. But it's great. It's great music. So,
well, I think it was from the era where they were playing together.
Okay. Yeah.
That might be the origin of it. Yeah. I'm not super checked out on, but I usually see it credited as Miles.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, totally.
So, all right, let's go back to. I'm kind of bouncing back and forth because it's important to do so. The Jacob Jolliffe Band, the bluegrass album, the audience heard Columbus Stockade Blues right before we started. They're holding up the ladder. You mentioned earlier bluegrass gospel. That's not, I don't know if that's a gospel tune, but it certainly is a reference, a religious reference to holding up the ladder, you know, for whatever that means. But
it is definitely a gospel tune. Yeah, the Easter Brothers. It's one that my dad and I used to play. It's not like a hymn.
No,
it's like a written gospel tune.
Yeah, thank you. That makes much more sense. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you have the most up tempo tune I hear on there is also maybe the most bluegrass, the Green Green Rocky Road.
Totally. Yeah.
That just jumps up.
Yeah, and that's also one I grew up playing with my dad. That arrangement I kind of owe to him. I've twisted it around a little bit, but. Yeah, it's one we used to play, and it's kind of a good vehicle for the band to stretch out on a little bit, you know.
Help me with One Night in Glasgow, which is also off of this bluegrass band.
Oh, well, so that's, that's another instrumental that I wrote a few years back, and it was one that we played at that great festival, Celtic Connections, that happens in Glasgow, Scotland. And we played it. The first one, we played it one time. We played it in January 2020, that was the first time we played it. We got to play it in this amazing venue called City Halls over in Glasgow, and we were opening for this incredible Celtic band, Fluke. I was just playing a couple of their tunes today, actually. Anyway, we played that in this beautiful room, and I had a nice like voice memo recording on my phone of it. And then that was the last gig my band played for like a year and a half because of the pandemic. So I thought about and been thinking about that night a lot, and had this great recording of the band. It was one of those ones where we just arranged it like moments before going on stage, and then we played it, and it was just everyone just held it together and really nailed it on the first go. And now that recording of it is still probably my favorite recording of us playing it live. So that's what that references.
Tell me, we've talked about the band, the Jacob Jolliffe Band. Tell me about the members of that band.
Oh, sure. Yeah, so on the, it's varied some over the last few years that I've had it, but it's pretty much always been Stash Weislauch on the guitar, amazing singer and guitar player. He from Massachusetts, but he lives out in the Bay Area now. And he's on the record. Sometimes I have several other guys that I call live. Ross Martin's a great guitar player that also plays with me live some. But Sash is the guy on the album, and then great, a lot of funny names in this band. But the great bass player Miles Saloniker, who's incredible, like a modern jazz bassist, but really has a knack for bluegrass too. And he's been my stalwart bass player for the last, I guess he started in 2018 playing with me. And then fiddlers, I've had a lot too. I've always sort of had a roster of guys I call, because it tends to be that the guys I want to play with are really busy because they're so good, and I can't always get the same crew, but I'm lucky to have a lot of friends that are great players. And first record we put out, Instrumentals Volume 1, that was with my old buddy Alex Hargraves, who's actually, he just joined Billy String's band, so he's a little busy.
He's
now
kind of
my
busy.
Price range
he's
these days.
Kind of busy. I don't know how you get out of that unless you just jump out of it on, because they're just back to back selling out. Just what they're doing is just unbelievable. And every time I hear about it, I think this has never happened ever in bluegrass.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy. It's kind of unprecedented, but it's amazing. It's good for everyone playing bluegrass
too. Sure. I think it lifts the water. I think, you know, it's the thing about the water rises all the boats. I think it will have that effect. But anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. But so the fiddler on the record is John Mylander, who's an incredible player. We went to Berkeley together, and he also tours with Bruce Hornsby. He plays his butt off on the album.
What I would like, first of all, the label. I know this is going to be released. I think you've indicated to me August 5th would be the release date.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the label is what?
Oh, so it's a... So it's the label that's sort of handling the streaming for me is this Adder Europa. It's hard to spell. I won't try to spell it without looking at it. But my buddy Joe Brent, who's a great classical mandolinist, it's his record label that he just started. They mostly handle like sync and streaming for albums.
Okay. If somebody wants, you have a website, that's so. Although I met you at Grey Fox for the first time, your website allows people to reach you and contact you. Will there be information about the availability of either of these albums, Our Delight or the Jacob Jolliffe Band, on your website?
Yeah, on my website and my Facebook and Instagram and my mailing list, all that kind of stuff. You can sign up for my mailing list on my website.
Okay. You're going to introduce for us off of the Jacob Jolliffe Band bluegrass album, The Good, the Bad, the Homeschooled. I want to play that. I want you. First of all, I love the title.
Thank you.
So I want you to give them a little hint of what that's going to be. It's an instrumental. Then we're going to play that, and I'll come back and chat for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say the title has any great bearing on the tune itself,
but it's funny.
Funny line.
It's a funny line. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, and I was homeschooled, and so I poke fun at myself. I like being homeschooled, and it was great for me, and had a lot of music opportunities that kind of stemmed from not being in school all day every day. But I still make fun of it. I joke that I met my first human I wasn't related to when I was 18 and went to college, which wasn't true, but. it's a tune that's kind of in the, I would say, Grisman, Bela, Thiele, yeah. Vane.
Right.
I think it will come. It probably comes across that way. I don't know. It's funny because I kind of, you know, obviously love all their music and have been really fortunate to get to play with Bela this summer and some more the rest of the year. But when I'm writing tunes, I don't directly try to imitate, you know, him or Thiele or Grisman or Lang or people like that. It's just, I think, you know, I've been listening to their music for a long time, and I'm also influenced by some of the same things. So I think people, it would probably think it sounds sort of in that vein.
I think so. Let's play then. I love the title. I like also love the tunes and instrumental. You know, it's I'm okay with clever titles, and most jazz tunes, not this is a jazz tune, they have nothing to do with what they're playing about. They just got to give it a name for something. I think Tony Trischka told me once that he'll write a song and look up and see what the street sign is, and that'll be the name of it. People try to ask him about this. It's a street that he's passing, because, you know, after you write so many, it's hard to really put it. Well, I mean, you couldn't do it, but so let's play that from Jacob. Thanks for that intro. We're going to play The Good, the Bad, and the Homeschooled, which is on the soon-to-be-released Jacob Jolliffe Band, and then I'll come back and talk to you for a minute, all right?
Sounds good.
All right, there you heard The Good, the Bad, the Homeschooled. I'm old enough that I have to stop because I'll say The Good, the Bad, the Ugly from the movie, and I, you know. Sergio Leone, yes. I want to listen to his music now. That's a great song. Who's doing most of the vocals? Is there one person that does most of the vocals on the Jacob Jolliffe Band, the Bluegrass Cuts?
That one was instrumental, but I mean, right. In general, it's me. It's the lead. Stash will sing one, Miles will sing one. But I sing pretty much, 99% of the lead vocals.
Okay.
And then Stash usually does the high harmony, and Miles usually the baritone.
I've never heard you sing. I guess I've never heard you sing live, so in my mind I haven't heard you sing before until I got this bluegrass thing that you sent me. So
that's me.
Yeah, good. Well, that's good. So on this album, too, the Jacob Jolliffe Band that we've been talking about, in between bouncing back and forth between Our Delights, which is a project from you and Grant Gordy. I'll talk about that a little bit more when we're done, because there's so much great music on both of these things. We could do several shows on either. On the Jacob Jolliffe Band, Old Dizzy Legs means nothing to me. I know I love Nancy Griffith, Outbound Plane, perfect. And that's to me that's easily recognizable. Maybe I'm just limited, but the Jody Messina tune, I remembered her voice singing it. I didn't have to look it up. It just kind of came back to me. But tell me who is, maybe it's one of those names that's not related, but tell me about Old Dizzy Legs off of that album.
That's another instrumental, and most of the goofy titles are instrumentals. I think it's similar to some of my jazz heroes that give their tunes kind of goofy titles. Some musicians, I think, do a great job of giving their tunes titles that kind of fit the tune and make it somewhat more iconic. I am not good at taking myself very seriously when it comes to titling tunes, so I tend to usually use a phrase that I find funny or references some story, and that was Old Dizzy Legs was, a buddy of mine who was playing guitar in the band and was, I think, possibly referring to some damage he had done the night before, substance-wise, and his hangover. I think he described his legs as being dizzy, whatever that means. I started calling him Old Dizzy Legs. I won't say a name, but that just became the name of the tune.
That tune, The Good, the Bad, and the Homeschooled, and my favorite. It's not my favorite cut, but my favorite instrumental cut on this Jacob Jolliffe Band bluegrass is The Large Garbage Barge. Now, that could fit on a number of things, as could the other ones. And that happens to be, I put a big star by that because it happens to be my favorite instrumental.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sure. Again, we don't need to describe what Large Garbage Barge is. I think it just all just rhymes nicely, but it's a great tune. How do you pick tunes for either of these? Let's start with the Jacob Jolliffe Band. How do you select tunes? Some of the things were more oriented in a pop sense, if you were familiar with the artist, Nancy or Jody Messina. But how do you choose the songs?
Yeah, well, this record, it's pretty representative of what we play live. You know, we play a third to half. Probably around half, man, like original instrumental stuff. That I write. And then we do some traditional bluegrass. There's a couple traditional cuts on the record, or traditional-ish.
Right.
Green, Green, Rocky Road. You know, it's not a commonly done one, but it's pretty trad-sounding. And then some covers, like you say, like a Nancy Griffith tune and that Jody Messina tune.
You have to pick those things. I don't know if you're singing lead or not on those, but you have to pick those on the... do you pick them on the vocal effort, or you just pick them because you like the melody? Or what, both of those tunes, Jody Messina tune and Nancy Griffith, you pick those because of the music,
the tunes. I mean, Nancy Griffith tune, Outbound Plane, that's one that my I think I actually first heard my sister sing it, and I know the like Susie Boggess version of it.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's it's nice to have something a little poppier in there, something that's not the two beat bluegrass. I'll see the Jody Messina tune. Actually, that one, I can't take full credit for the sort of bluegrassifying of it because there was a great band. I wrote this in the liner notes, but I think they were called Crossfire. Is that right? I think it was Crossfire in the Northwest. You know, growing up, that I would hear play around, and they would do that tune. So they kind of, and then I listened to their record a lot, and they were kind of a pretty much a local band that were really good, and they would play that tune. And so my dad and I actually learned it from their version. And I've since, I listened to the Jody Messina version a bunch too. But so some of these tunes I've known for a while, and then Don't Cry Blue,
right?
Also pretty trad sounding, but it's not a commonly done one in the bluegrass circles, I wouldn't say. But Jonathan Edwards, I grew up with that particular Jonathan Edwards record.
Yeah.
And it's fairly bluegrassy even on that. Like, it might have a trap set, but it's got banjo on it.
Well, then it's bluegrass. I think if you get that in there, the discussion ends. So I'm talking to Jacob Joliffe, and I appreciate your time and kind of bouncing back between these two records. I'm glad you gave me a heads up on the Jacob Joliffe band. I really like it. As we're going back and forth, it looks like then for Our Delight, the thing with Grant Gordy, those are all tunes that, in other words, I don't see any original compositions on there. Is that fair statements? I look through.
Yeah, no, they're all. Fairly well-known jazz tunes.
Yeah.
Some a little bit less so, but.
And I think that we're going to play a cut from that, and I want you're going to introduce Wayne Shorter, one of my all-time favorite composers and players. But I want to talk a little bit about that. You have on here. You have Billy Stray. I have Billy Strayhorn with Duke Ellington. I cannot say the name of the tune. Isfahan.
Isfahan.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You have Thelonious Monk, Hoagie Carmichael, Skylark, which is easily one of the most beautiful melodies ever written. It actually has words. You don't see them on there. You don't have to. But The Stars Fell on Alabama is an older tune that's kind of updated with your the Falling Grace. I don't know that tune at all.
Oh yes, yeah, Steve Swallow. It's slightly newer, but still it's in the real book, and it gets played a lot.
Okay,
it's a really cool one.
Well, see, part of the reason I do this show is I get exposed to all this other great stuff that
people
I learn from them, and hopefully people listen, learn something too. But
for sure,
this is a blast. I'm so glad I ran into you because I kept trying to figure out how to reach you, and it just made sense to try to set something up. So we've talked pretty much about the Jacob Joliffe band. Will that band, or at least a band that will be playing that particular record, that album, will you be touring anytime soon after the release of the album?
Yeah, we will be. We're doing, I guess, just one weekend in August. We're playing the Green Mountain Festival in Vermont and a couple other Club Passim in Boston, and then Bridgeport, Connecticut, and one other one. Let me look. I'm trying to find it.
Okay.
Oh, Exeter, New Hampshire.
Yeah,
it's all on my website. And then we'll do a tour this fall in October, also in the Northeast. And then probably not coming out west until February. But we're playing Wintergrass up in Seattle.
Great.
Or Bellevue, Washington.
Great.
We'll be doing some touring around that, too.
Well, let's skip back to Our Delight for this last tune I want you to introduce. We were talking off the air that you thought you wanted to do a build-up for Black Nile, the Wayne Shorter tune, so this is your chance to do that. I love the whole album.
This, to me,
is just like exactly what I want to hear in that mixture of bluegrass instrumentality and jazz. This is just the perfect version. So tell us about Black Nile from Wayne Shorter.
You bet. Yeah, that's a great tune. I also love the version. There's a great version on a Jeff Tane Watts record that has Kenny Kirkland playing piano. And I really like that version too. I transcribed that piano solo at one point. But anyway, it's one I think, it's a little bit more on the upside tempo wise, and it almost has a Grismany vibe, I would say. And Grant is an incredible jazz player, and he also played in the Crisman Quintet, or Sextet, you know, a few years back. So he's kind of got that language too. But yeah, I think it's one that would sort of appeal to the bluegrass and jazz kind of demographics. And it's a really fun one. It's D minor, good key for mandolins and guitars.
It's great. By the way, Grant, you mentioned, he's one of those guys. I used to hear about you all the time, Jacob, and I just didn't know how to wrestle with it yet. So now I've met. But Grant, I know Chris Luquette just did an album, and he has a couple of cuts with Grant on it. And,
right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So his name is popping up to the part where I'm going to have to get him on the show at some point because he's just
too, yeah, he definitely should.
He's just too everywhere. And I know Chris really well, and I'm sure I can reach him through Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. He puts out a lot of he has a jazz record out and a record of sort of stuff along the veins of what I do, and then he's putting out another record with his quartet in the next year, so that, yeah, it would probably be a great time to have him on.
Yeah, maybe I'll reach him. Listen, thank you so much for your time and being so responsive to my requests. Thank you for sneaking me in. For the people listening, I got the Jacob Jolliffe Bluegrass Band album about a half hour before we started this, so I gave it a real quick listen. I appreciate you giving me that. I'll get it into the program easy.
You bet.
And the Art of Delight thing I bought as soon as it came out. So with that being said, we're going to play the Wayne Shorter composition, Black Nile, from the Art of Delight. So we could play any of these tunes. I'd be happy with any of these tunes that we're dropping in, but we're going to limit it to that. And then, listen, man, have a great time. Enjoy playing
with Thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate it.
Enjoy playing with your band. Enjoy those dates with Bela and the most incredible all-star band that could ever exist.
it's kind of true, yeah.
I mean, it's just
amazing. I will.
Yeah, all right. Listen, man, thanks a lot, and I'll catch
you
down
the
road.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Sounds good. See ya.
Bye.